Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Which is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe here. And a great guest out of Chicago today. We're going to be talking here in just a little while with Grace Ann Bennett. Grace Ann is with Ogilvy and Mather. She is the Director of Strategic Planning at Ogilvy and Mather. We'll get into a little bit more of her background and how she got there. She has a great credentials, okay? She led the Global Man Study. That sounds like a scary thing. It's not a Tupperware party, okay, folks? We have Jeremy Kent here momentarily. Jeremy, you know, is really with the... he's our European correspondent. And this week he's talking about the effects, the ramifications of the Gulf oil spill as it has on BP marketing, not here in the United States, but in Europe. And they're having some troubles. They probably ought to hire the guys that did the Toyota thing. Also, Jeremy talks about free beer. It's something you'll want to stay tuned for, I'm sure, especially if you're in college or something like that. Gene Bliss is with us. The customer experience. Gene, a little bit later on this hour, has got the thing from Southwest Airlines of how to say you are sorry. Because every business knows how to try to be successful, but many businesses, BP, doesn't know how to do damage control. Southwest does, and they do a good job of it. So we've got that coming your way here just a little bit later on the Advertising Show. And so great to have you here. Brad, what are you taking a look at there? What is that?
Well, before I do that, thank God BP is known as BP and not British Petroleum as they once were. Or, you know, we'd probably be having a problem with the Brits, and thank you, Jeremy, for weighing in on that. By the way, next week we're going to have a new feature we'll be launching called the Asian Report. And if you know what the European Report is all about, you can figure that out. That's coming out of Beijing, which more on that next week. And one final thing, Ray, we've had a lot of people sign up and follow us on Twitter as well as Facebook, so thank
you for
including,
I saw your parole officer there, too. That's really great.
You know, and you don't look that bad with that ankle bracelet, but it does keep you from going out at night. But that's just between you and the judge. Nothing
exactly.
to do with me.
Exactly.
But thank you to all that are following us on Twitter, at The Ad Show on Twitter, and also Facebook, The Advertising Show. You can find us there. What I was going to ask you, Ray, is are you going to be going out shrimping or maybe getting some oysters later this evening? Shrimping, of course, I'm referring to right off the...
Yeah, well-oiled oysters, exactly. Yeah. I can see
that really...
If Saturday Night Live doesn't pick up this skit this week and do something more with it, I'll be real surprised.
Well, I'm surprised Leno or Letterman or somebody hasn't done a Michael Jackson evolution process of someone's face, and I'm talking about the CEO of BP. You know, the guy looked decent his first few TV airings, I guess, but now you see this guy. He's partying down there in Louisiana, or he's not sleeping well, one of the two. Not sure.
Exactly. You know, did you know that BP gave the Florida Tourism Group $25 million to run an ad campaign for Florida tourism. $25 million. You may have heard the ads or seen the ads or whatever. Florida tourism taking to the airwaves to try and combat the worries over the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. How can you combat that? And they gave them $25 million. Why don't you take that $25 million instead and try and figure out how to plug that stupid thing at the bottom of the Gulf?
That's silly.
Jeez, oh man.
That's
so
silly. You know, it'll be interesting to see. You know, all these shrimpers, and I really feel terrible about anybody that makes a living through the water out there in Louisiana, through boating, fishing, recreational, whatever. But because this is something that they may be getting a check on down the road from BP, but A, it's not going to be enough, and B, it's destroying some lives for generations, unfortunately. But
yeah, family, you know, businesses, and so on and so forth. And can you imagine how mad when the shrimpers and all those guys hear about the fact that BP is paying out $25 million to run a promotional campaign?
Yeah, that's really pissing me off now. I thought I was pissed before, but now I'm really pissed off.
Yeah, if I were you, Mr. BP, I would get one of those protected identity things, okay, and probably go to Greece or something, because these guys are not going to be too happy with the results. Although, as we record this today, they're trying to put cement on top of this thing, and I haven't heard the latest news, so you know, by the time this actually airs, who knows, maybe it'll be a done deal, and hopefully it is. You know, you want them to be successful, but how many stupid mistakes can you possibly make? And I'll be curious to see whether this guy actually gets to keep his job. No, wait, they'll pay him off, and then they'll fire him, and they'll get some other idiot in there. Hey, did you see the FCC is back in the communications business? That's a good idea. The Federal Communications Commission. It's basically, they're going back, and they're now going to take a second look at who owns what and how good they're doing. Isn't that
Why
what
is
they?
Well,
because they're, I guess they're afraid that maybe they haven't been doing a good job up to this point, you know, with the quote unquote monopolies and such that you find in many of the markets. You know, beyond the clear channels and such like that. So they're going to go back, and they're going to make sure that these broadcast stations are indeed doing what they're supposed to do, which is being live and local. That was the banner cry at the last National Association of Broadcasters convention. And
wow.
You know, a lot of these stations are not live and local, or not even close to it.
I was going to say, That goes against the entire Clear Channel business model, doesn't it?
Well, it's not only Clear Channel. It's a lot of stations around the country.
Right.
And
right.
There
but
are
Clear
those
Channel
guys. Oh, yeah, Clear Channel. You know, and you have the opportunity to be live and local if you craft, you know, your programming the right way. So, you know, some guys are out there doing it. But, hey, what we're going to do here is I've got before we bring Grace Ann on, I want to bring in Jeremy Kent. As we said, Jeremy this week is talking about British Petroleum, a.k.a. BP, and also free beer. So it's a good report. Let's listen to it now.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Kent, and welcome to the European News Desk. Coming up, BP plugs its marketing activity, the EU slams Facebook, and Carling is offering free beer. Despite an ongoing environmental disaster in the Gulf of Mexico, BP's marketing continued as usual. That all changed towards the end of May as the company's embattled communications department set out on the long road to restore BP's reputation. As it does so, the planned rollout of a pan-European mobile and digital campaign for BP's premier fuel product has been shelved, and the damage to the energy company's brand from this disaster is not over yet. New claims and lawsuits have yet to be filed, argued and settled, and until that process is complete, BP's reputation has no chance of recovery. The question is, at what point is so much damage done that it's better to invest in a new brand and simply jettison the old one? Facebook has been making headlines throughout May, and now the EU has slammed the networking site's privacy settings. Grumbling had been growing on Twitter and in the marketing press for a few months, but it appears that Facebook now has some real problems. The EU data protection authorities have said that it is unacceptable for the company to fundamentally change the default settings on its social networking platform to the detriment of the user. The group reminded Facebook that user profile information is limited to self-selected contacts and any further access should be an explicit choice of the user. At the same time, a social media campaign has been gathering momentum, calling on people to delete their Facebook accounts on May 31st. All the pressure seems to be having an effect because one of Facebook's founders, Mark Zuckerberg, has pledged to bring in new privacy settings. It remains to be seen whether it will be enough to retain users and satisfy the European Union. Finally, UK pubs are closing at the rate of 6 a day, and over 2,000 have closed in the last year alone. This is really bad news, and someone needs to do something. Thankfully, beer brand Carling has stepped forward and sent out direct mail in the form of a personal invitation from a pub landlord. Recipients are asked to take the invitation to any participating pub to receive a free pint of Carling. The promotion, which runs until 21 June, is also being supported at the point of sale. This is the latest in a long line of initiatives from Carling brewers Molson Coors. Last year, consumers were incentivised to visit their local pub and celebrate the use of British barley, and Molson Coors also offered free advertising space to local pubs at soccer clubs and grounds participating in the Carling Cup. God bless them. This is Jeremy Kent in London for The Advertising Show.
Jeremy Kent, thank you so much here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. As we told you, out of Chicago this weekend, Grace Ann Bennett is joining us. Grace Ann began her training in consumer behavior while growing up in the image-obsessed environment of Southern California, where every brand choice was made with the utmost care and consideration. It was. She then went on to gain formal marketing credentials by obtaining a degree in business marketing at Brigham Young. Upon the graduation from there, she moved to New York City via a stint in London to put her credentials to work at Dunham & Marcus Consulting, advising companies like Pepsi-Cola, Stolzenitsa, and Weight Watchers on global strategy and branding issues. Now, following her indoctrination into the world of building brands, and I did not know there was an indoctrination, it might have been an interesting procedure. Grace Ann added other dimensions to her expertise by working with some of the country's top creative shops, Weiss, Witten, Stagliano, TBWA, Chiat Day, and Mullen. She developed brand strategies for Coca-Cola, Four Seasons, Fortune, and many more. And we talked about the Global Man Study. She led that Global Man Study, a proprietary study of male attitudes and values around the world, conducting over 2,000 interviews in 13 countries. You must have been very tired by the time the study was over, analyzing marketing conditions and social trends in an effort to answer that most elusive of questions. What the heck is really going on with that guy? Is he nuts or something or what? Anyway, but on that note, we know that Grace Ann is not, and she's very accomplished at what she does. Hey, Grace Ann, it is great to have you here at the Advertising Show. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
So, Grace Ann, Ray was reading your, what, 7-8-page bio, which is in the top 3 percentile of our guest, and usually we introduce that as a short story, don't we, Ray?
It was a good story, though, with a happy ending, and I'm very happy about that.
Any truth to the fact that when you were at Dunham Marcus Consulting, that you came into the office one day and you said, you know, if you drink enough Pepsi and Stoli, you'll have to go to Weight Watchers?
Yeah, I did think about that, a kind of cross-promotion branded, some kind of conglomeration of all three clients. They can get together, do a partnership.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a great cross promotion. Let's to get us started. Let's peek into the life and times of Grace Ann Bennett for a second. Tell us a little bit about the exciting things going on at Ogilvy Chicago these days, and if you want to give us a scoop on some new business you guys are working on, that's fine too.
What's going on here? Well, we did win the last 5 new business pitches we pitched, so that's good. So we're on a winning streak here in Ogilvy Chicago. We're doing. Let's see, we're working on a new campaign for CDW, which is a B2B tech company. We are working on a new campaign globally for UPS with the New York office. So that's big. We've done a lot of work for Dove. We work on BP, so that's a little bit of a nightmare right now. But
oh, my goodness.
I think we could probably spend the rest of the show talking about that, couldn't we?
Right,
but we won't.
Exactly. I know. I heard you talking about it earlier, and I know that's one of our big clients. We helped brand them. We're very proud of all the work that we've done, and now they're in a load of trouble. So, yep, that's one of our accounts here. So that's on the radar.
And who handles PR for BP? I'm curious. Do you know?
We do all the advertising globally.
Yeah, but PR is probably separate of you guys, right?
Yeah, but I don't want to get in trouble and say something I don't know.
No. I was just curious if you knew who it was.
Because I know you had some comments on that, so I'm going to stay away from that topic altogether.
Oh, please do.
Cannot blame you.
Yeah.
Stay away. But things are exciting here. Things are good. And you're going to talk to me about kind of my latest, after understanding men, I have to understand what's going on with our money.
We might talk about that, but first I'd like to talk a little bit about the CMO strategy article that you co-authored for Ad Age, entitled Consumers Are Tired of Hearing About the Recession, which we all are. We're all consumers, and we're all tired of that. But before we get into chatting about the article, talk to us a little bit about the Eyes Wide Open, Wallets Half Shut study, which is referenced throughout the article. Give us a high level on that, if you would, Grace Ann.
the high level. So will the, what's, I mean, everybody probably listening to the show and yourself included, you know, you might have kind of read the papers or looked at your house value and know that we're going through a recession. It's not so good, and it keeps on getting worse. So we were trying to figure out what this is all going to mean in terms of marketing to consumers within kind of this new period, and how do we talk to them about brands? Are they shifting values and what's going on? So the eyes wide open bit is that universally across the board, doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, where you live, basically there's this kind of new heightened consciousness. We're calling it this kind of consumer consciousness that's happened as we can no longer put our heads in the sand when it comes to our finances and how we make decisions, both on how we spend our money and also how we spend our lives. The wallet half shut bit, and a lot of people are really interested in this part because our clients are trying to get people, consumers' wallets open for their brands. And the thing that's really interesting here, there's no predictable behavior when it comes to how people are spending their money because it's very individually based. And so I just was talking to Fortune Magazine a couple weeks ago, and they were saying, you know, why is the lipstick index not working? Booze, chocolate, all these industries that usually go up when there's a recession, all those kind of rules are not working. And so the wallet half shut bit of our thesis here, and what we're finding is that there's all these complicated decisions that are being made when it comes to how people spend money, and if the old rules do not apply.
So. Well, let's get into a little bit of that, Grace. And you mentioned in the article that marketers need to employ new strategies when dealing with today's post-recession consumer. You also just mentioned that moments ago. Let's talk a little bit about some of these new strategies that you illustrate in the article, starting with tap into Americans' strength, don't exploit their fears. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, the one thing that's definitely true that we found out is that people really are astonishingly feeling very, very good about themselves, and they think the rest of the world is really screwed up. So on an individual basis, we asked them all these questions about, you know, do you think the American public's going to go back to spending the way they did before? And they'd say, oh, yes, you know, two-thirds of them are just going to, you know, said they're just going to go back to their old spending habits. But when it came back to them, they said, no, you know, I'm going to change. I'm good. I learned my lesson. I'm okay. So there's all this feeling of I'm okay and the rest of the world screwed up. So when marketers kind of project this kind of this whole recession on the greater public and say, you know, you're all kind of going through this financial crisis and, you know, if you need this wake-up call or this doom and gloom scenario, it doesn't really resonate on an individual basis because a lot of individuals are distancing themselves from it and kind of feeling okay on an individual basis. So a lot of marketers, when they kind of look at this big overarching trend and try to speak to it and speak to the American public in this kind of holistic way, it doesn't really resonate. So we're saying you kind of have to think differently about that. And we don't want to think all the doom and gloom and the news and all the bad news. People are sick of that, too. So they're actually feeling.
That would make a lot of sense that they're sick of it. I'm also surprised that the people are feeling so good that they're going back to the way that they used to spend. I'm really surprised that there hasn't been a change, at least a little bit of a change in behavior there.
Well, they say that they've, I mean, you have to look at different things, but they say that they've actually really have changed their spending habits for the better. Yeah. They just don't think America has.
Right. And it's interesting that
so
they
these are all Republicans
changed.
Then, I guess. Is, no,
they said we have changed. And so on a personal level, yes, I have changed. I just don't think the rest of the world has changed. So there's all this. There's a big disconnect between the individual and the collective.
Let's before we get into the next question, Brad, let's take a break here with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Out of Chicago this weekend, the Director of Strategic Planning at Ogilvie and Mather, Grace Ann Bennett, is our guest. GraceAnnBennett.com, by the way. You have your own website. What a great idea, too. We'll be back with more. Advertising Show being powered by Shipple.com in a platform called Tendency, incredible marketing platform. It's Schipul.com. It's Shipple. Ed and his crew do a great job for us here in Houston and all over the world, for that matter. Stay with us on The Advertising Show.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Here's the story of the 1940 cars in a nutshell.
Best bets Buick.
And see back in 1940, that's all it took to sell you a brand new Buick. Okay, things have changed just a little bit here. It's Ray and Brad on the Advertising Show out of Chicago this weekend. It's our very special guest, Grace Ann Bennett. Grace Ann is Director of Strategic Planning at Ogilvy and Mather. And Grace Ann, once again, it is great to have you here. Welcome back.
Great to be here.
Yes, going back to the article for a moment, and entitled, by the way, if you're just joining us, Consumers Are Tired of Hearing About the Recession, and we all are, of course, that you co-authored at CMO Strategy Ad Age. You say, beware of the price trap. A lot of marketers, I think, gravitate to a price issue when it gets into a recessionary situation as we're in now. But you suggest don't exploit the price fix approach. You need to be aware that price is a short-term fix. Talk a little bit about that, Grace.
Well, it's very tempting to give people coupons and put everything on deal and make everything cheap as people think, okay, recession equals I need to save money, so I'm going to do some kind of promotion that's going to cut down the price. But that is going to be probably just a short-term gain, as you don't want your brand to be seen as something you buy when things are down. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of an exercise in deprivation, or it's just something that you're doing because it's cheap. It's actually probably a better idea to boost the desirability of whatever product or service that you have to offer, because people have finite resources, and they really, from our study, they will get what they really, really want, and they have some pretty crazy ways that they go about actually getting what they want when they have these scarce resources. But you need to be at the top of the list and needs to be desirable. So desirability is actually more important than ever.
Not to mention that when good times return, and they always do, my goodness, a price strategy just will totally backfire on you for the long term, won't it?
Exactly. It's like I think about, you know, things that are associated with times of tough times, and then it starts getting back to normal. You think, okay, that was then, and now I want to feel normal, so I'm going to buy something else. It's like women with their you guys are two men, but you're wearing your maternity clothes. I mean, the last thing you want to do is get anywhere near those after you've had the baby, you know? It's associated with something else. So you don't want to kind of be the recession brand of choice.
Oh, that totally blows the Mr. Mom theory, the schooner tuner people. We lowered the price, and we're in this together. That's, exactly.
I mean, people like deals, but they're not always. That's not always a big loyalty move.
Sure.
Grace Ann, you're quoted as saying the most surprising thing about the study that you referenced is how much consumers are saying that it's more about what they would not do for money, even when money worries are high on the list. How do you interpret this strange and unusual response from consumers today?
Yeah, we asked them some questions because we thought, okay, well, how desperate are people for money, and what kind of things will they do for money? And we asked a whole range of questions. One, the funniest question is, you know, would you marry a rich bitch or a rich jerk, or would you rather marry a rich bitch or jerk, or would you rather marry a poor nice guy or a girl? And, you know, over 90% said they're going to go for the poor guy.
Wow.
But I think the big thing here is that people are thinking that the pursuit of money has let them down, and money isn't all it's cracked up to be, because they went on this kind of corporate ladder, rat race kind of situation, and it didn't really end up so well. They have lots of debt. They are in debt to their lives for all the time they spent away from home, and they've kind of bankrupted their lives and their financial situation in the pursuit of money. So they're like, they're thinking, well, maybe if I'm not going after money, and I anchor my values to something that is better in terms of time and family and friends and some of those things, that that I'll end up happier in the long run.
You know, I'd like to get where you come down on social media. It's such a hot topic today. Some suggest that social media cannot really be monetized or marketed as a channel. Others suggest that it's a great thing, and have example after example of the positive things that have come from marketing and social media. What's your take on social media and marketing?
If it doesn't work,
well Just how what strategy you would employ? Do you recommend it to your clients? Just your thoughts in general.
I think you got to get your head around social media because it's kind of the way things are going. I mean, if Facebook's the number one kind of online destination, then it's something to contend with because that's where all the eyeballs are and that's where a lot of the kind of time spent where it's going. I think the trick with marketers is trying to figure out how to genuinely be in that space without being in their face in a way that you actually want those brands there. So I don't know if there's an actual answer of exactly how to do it. I think we're still kind of experimenting and testing and learning. But I think brands need to figure that out, and we're trying to help our brands figure that out as well as we enter this new territory.
I think the scary part of that is experimenting. You know, with any advertiser's money, it's like, well, you know, this has got to work. Okay, come on, don't say that experimenting word.
Exactly, but I mean, I think that's where you kind of the breakthroughs come is when you take some risks.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of, I mean, you can measure a lot online, which is good. So there's a lot of risk and there's a lot of experimentation, but there's a lot of accountability and a lot of measurement when it comes to this space. So I feel like the risk-reward scenario is pretty balanced, and it's definitely a worthwhile endeavor to kind of jump in there.
And hopefully the agencies have the opportunity to work with clients that believe in them enough to say, you know what, I'm on. Let's do this. Let's do it mm-hmm. together.
Yep. I think it's exciting. It makes it fun. I mean, my job in strategic planning and thinking about brands, and I find it endlessly fascinating because there's so many more pathways. It makes it more complicated, but definitely makes it more interesting. So for those that are not the faint of heart and willing to go out there, I think there's a lot of great things ahead.
Makes sense.
You know, as we wrap up this segment, Grace Ann, you say it's important for marketers to have a big picture view of how consumers are evaluating purchase decisions today. So how are consumers evaluating purchase decisions?
I mean, I think this is one of the most interesting things that we started to see as this kind of new consciousness emerges. The thing that's interesting is that because our eyes are wide open and we've kind of been forced to look at our lives in this big macro way, that consumers are making these complex decisions and trade-offs that they've never made before. So I say, you know, pre-recession, just purchase decisions more straight math, and now it's more like calculus. So a lot of brands are competing. I always use the example of, like, your Starbucks coffee might be competing with a new car purchase, and there's all these cross-category decisions that are being made that consumers used to not make before. They used to kind of make purchase decisions in silos, like, okay, here's my coffee budget, and here's my travel budget, and here's my car budget, and my education, and they kind of saw things in these little silos. And I feel like the exciting thing is that they're starting to look at kind of their resources, money and time, in this big macro way, and it throws everything out of balance. But then they kind of reassemble their lives and their priorities and values in these different ways. And marketers need to kind of, again, be important and valuable into consumers' lives in a way that they have to kind of reestablish their importance in a way that they never had to. And they're competing against all these things that they never competed against before, which I think makes it interesting.
Grace Ann Bennett is our special guest. Grace Ann is Director of Strategic Planning at Ogilvy & Mather out of Chicago this weekend with Ray and Brad here on The Advertising Show. Gene Bliss is talking about something near and dear to my heart, Southwest Airlines. I love and hate Southwest Airlines at the same time, mostly love them, though, and how they're good at solving problems and also learning to say, we're sorry. Let's listen.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Do you have a proactive recovery plan for knowing what your customers experience? Southwest Airlines has turned the process for saying sorry into a core competency of their business. Each morning, an MOM, Morning Overview Meeting, is convened. The people who run the airline's operations, its meteorologists, and the proactive customer service team review the flights of the previous day for delays, issues, and service glitches. They get a read on the weather for that day that might have brought passengers, delays, and challenges to airports. Then the proactive service team gets to work. They imagine themselves as passengers and decide which events deserve an apology. a hand of human kindness from Southwest. Depending on the severity of the situation, this ranges from offering the passenger their next flight free or a percentage off in the form of a love voucher, LUV. All these things come with a hand-signed, personalized letter customized to the experience that customers have encountered. No mass-produced sorry letter allowed here. When something goes wrong, what actions are set in motion in your company? Does your recovery wow your customers?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
And thank you so much, Gene Bliss, here at The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. And Grace Ann Bennett is with us, as we said before, with Ogilvie and Mather, the Director of Strategic Planning. And her position comes with very big credentials and very qualified credentials. Grace Ann, it is great talking to you today. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you one final question about your study, and then I've got some random questions here for you, Grace Ann, that I want to get some quick reactions to. But as we wrap up the study-related questions, I found it interesting that people, according to your study, are getting back to their television sets. What do you think this is?
That was interesting for us, too, and it's happening in a greater rate of return to your TV set with the younger generation than in the other generation. So that was interesting as well. So I think it's this whole thing that we're uncovering, that people, when they get thrown into a state of disequilibrium, which this recession has thrown us into, they either retrench or reimagine. And TV viewing is part of kind of the retrenching coping mechanism as we try to kind of put our lives back together in a way that seems familiar, safe, comfortable, and it's kind of these incremental changes to kind of bring back some sense of normalcy. And TV is free, or not really free, but if you already pay your cable, it's basically, it's already a sunk cost when it comes to things you're already paying for. So you sit your butt on the couch and you watch TV, and back to the opiates of the masses and this kind of the good old television set to wish your cares away as you look at your dwindling stock portfolio or your dwindling house value. So it is interesting, with so many other screens competing for consumers' attention, that they're actually such an increase in the favorite screen being the television set.
It's comfort That's food for the eyes or something, isn't it? Or the brain, I guess, is a good
or
way
for the
to describe
soul.
It.
Anything. Comfort.
Yeah. I think they called that cocooning back in the early 2000s, and it was a similar situation, a recessionary deal that we were in. Do you think that there's a need for advertising or the industry in general to reinvent itself today, or do you think we're going along just fine?
I think you'd have to definitely have your head in the sand if you don't think we need to reinvent advertising today. I think the exciting and scary part of our business is that it's in need of a major reinvention, and we're in the middle of one right now. So I say everything's game, and it is going to be tricky, because I've never seen such a embattled industry in terms of a real demand for reinvention.
Well, that was a loaded question, and Ray's usually loaded during the show, which is why I asked that question.
Is not true.
I'm curious. A lot of the differentiators, the major differentiators between agency X and agency Y, is simply a matter of the ideas that they bring to their clients. So, how do we get clients to appreciate that that is what agencies are selling, and be able to actually provide some kind of distinct compensation to that particular agency that comes with those great ideas?
Exactly. It's exactly a question I've been asking myself for the last 20-something years as I've been in this business. It's one of those evergreen questions, and I think as things shift and the business model shifts, but the rules of the game shift, but the business model doesn't shift fast enough, advertising agencies haven't been very good at getting paid for what they bring to the table, which are the ideas, and those are.
But aren't the agencies the one to blame for that, because they're not demanding the clients pay for them? I mean, they're just going along. A lot of cases, agencies are willing to do spec work and not get paid for it just to get the business. I mean, who's really to blame here?
I mean, I think it's the agencies are to blame. I mean, if we have a business model problem, we need to have a business. We need to have a new business model. So I think it is up to, you know, the big holding companies, the agencies, to reinvent the business model. But you almost need some kind of OPEC situation here, where all the holding companies hold hands and say, okay, we need it. We need to work together to come up with a new system of compensation, because we're our own worst enemies, because we throw free work and free ideas, and we don't make it easier. We don't make it easy on ourselves to get paid for what the value we bring.
Grace Ann, unfortunately, we are out of time here at the Advertising Show. Would love to continue the conversation, but obviously if our listeners want to go to graceannbennett.com, you can find out more about not only the Global Man Study, but all of the other great things that you've been doing. Continued success. Thank you for being a part of our industry as well. You're doing a great job.
Well, thanks for having me.
On the Advertising Show, yeah, it's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe. Continuing here in just a moment. Stay with us. Well, there you go. Grace Ann Bennett, our guest today, Director of Strategic Planning at Ogilvy and Mather. Glad to have Grace on the show. And next week, we've got Tim Arnold. Tim is founder of a company called Possible 20. And we'll talk with Tim next week here at the Advertising Show. I wanted to talk quickly about something that is an interesting fact. Starbucks. You think of Starbucks, you think they own the market. They they sell more coffee than anybody, but that is very, very not true. Basically, despite the long-term success that they've enjoyed, they say they have less than 10% share of coffee consumption in North America. I was just absolutely amazed. And here's even more. A less than 1% share internationally. That's according to Howard Schultz. Didn't we have Howard on the show a long time ago, Brad?
No, we had some former Starbucks executives, but not Howard.
All right. Well, basically what they're suggesting is that Starbucks, it's got a global coffee house chain of more than 13,015 countries, and its most devout customers purchase only 3 out of every 10 cups of coffee they drink from Starbucks. Here's the interesting part. You know, Dunkin' Donuts, and I finally broke down and bought some Dunkin' Donuts coffee just to see what it's all about. It's made by Folgers. It's a division of the Smucker Company that makes jams and jellies and stuff. Basically, the American coffee titan, they say, Maxwell House, which is a Kraft's food brand as well. Soaring earnings in 2010. So Maxwell House is beating the heck out of Starbucks. Isn't that interesting? You know,
well, when you mentioned the percentage, I first off thought if they wanted to really be fair, they should have said percentage of market retail as opposed to total consumption. If it's total consumption, there's a lot of people that are drinking coffee at home, number one. And number two, I think a lot of Starbucks market brought in, at least on the younger end of the spectrum, were people that were not drinking coffee before, and they've come into coffee through Starbucks, and that's kind of their point of entry. But there's a lot of people of older generation, Ray, I would think, that may have had a Starbucks once or twice, but 99% of their coffee is consumed in their home or in their office, and it's prepackaged coffee that they buy at the grocery store.
Yeah, so they're still consuming it. It's just in different places is what you're suggesting.
Yeah,
right. I don't know that necessarily is true according to this, but I think it's quite interesting that Starbucks, you would have thought that Starbucks had a much bigger share of the market. By the way, McDonald's coffee sales have increased every year since back in 06 when they introduced the McCafe line of premium coffee. Seattle, in part, Seattle's Best, that is, will take aim against Starbucks. Basically, typically lower priced at McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts. In a new rebranding effort, Starbucks plans to distribute Seattle's Best brand in Burger King and Subway restaurants nationwide. By the way, I had a Subway breakfast, and that would be the last one that I would have. It was an interesting
experience. I didn't even know
experience.
They served breakfast.
Well, they really ought to stick to, either do a better job with breakfast or stick what they're doing with the with the great lunch fare and such. Disappointing, I guess, is a good way to put it. As the guy pulled the tater tots out of the frozen bag and popped them in the oven there and heated them up for me. And if you could just look and see the way they assemble the food at Subway, they've there's this sad looking little pre-cooked egg sitting in the tray along with the all the other accoutrement that Subway has. It was not exactly the best experience. So, but that's only my opinion. You go try it out and you tell me, okay? Just let me know.
Well, if you're not hungry by now, I know you are now that I've heard that.
Yeah, right. Don't have to worry about eating out for breakfast there. Go have yourself a piece of fruit. Tim Arnold coming up next week, founder of Possible 20 here at the Advertising Show, which is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. And you can visit them online at adage.com. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, we always invite you to tell a friend about the show and invite them to tune in. Thanking our guest today once again, Grace Ann. What a great guest she was, too. The Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production.
Under pressure? Get creative concepts fast. Run a global pitch on openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 advertising and marketing creators from 125 countries. Simply take 15 minutes to fill out our online brief form and we'll take care of the rest. From world-class agencies to the best independents to the brightest freelancers, openad.net global creatives can deliver creative concepts direct to your desktop in a matter of days. Why not save time, energy, and money by quickly sourcing concepts from the world's brightest creative minds? Visit openad.net and see how we're revolutionizing the way ideas are created and traded. It's simple, it's fast, and it's global. Openad.net, the smarter way to create your advertising from the freshest creative minds on the planet. Visit openad.net today to find out more.